for the redemption we have in Christ. Glory to God for the blessedness we have as believers, as it's limited to only us as believers. Glory to God for the work of salvation. Glory to God for the eternal work of salvation. Glory to God for the eternal work of redemption. Glory to God for the eternal life we have in Christ. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Let's go into the word this evening and just round up this month. And just round up what we've been teaching this month. We've been teaching what? Praises through the lens of Christ. We've been looking at that. And we had a beautiful time on Sunday, did we? Had a beautiful time on Sunday. Wonderful time singing spiritual songs unto the Lord, making melody in our hearts and singing in admonition, in commendation, and singing the praise of God, singing of the work of Christ, the work God has done in Christ, giving praise, exalting God in things of the Spirit. It was a beautiful service. Yeah, so this month we've been looking at praises through the lens of Christ, and something profound that we've tried to establish is the fact that worship was not about singing, right? Worship was not about singing. Worship, the vocabulary of worship, or the vocabulary of the Bible in reference to worship was not about singing. The vocabulary of you know, we saw that worship was usually done by bringing what? And offering a sacrifice, which was done over and over. We looked through scriptures and lots of scriptures that showed us that. From that also, we were able to see that the worship of the believer, the offering that the believer has to be offered, is the offering of who? Christ. So who is our offering? To establish that Christ was our offering, Christ is our offering. The offering, the sacrifice that was given once and for all. Sacrifice given once and for all. We are now those true worshippers that are acknowledging the work of the offering that has been accepted and perfected once and for all. And we saw that praise is about speaking well, or commending, saying good things about the worship that has been accepted. The worship that has been accepted, which is Christ. The offering that has been given, which is Christ. The offering that has been offered, which is Christ. We are to speak well of that offering. Speak about the work of that offering. Speak about the effect of that offering. Speak about the product of that offering. Speak about what that offering produced. Speak about what that offering has made us. Speak about our reality that offering has brought to us. So we establish all of that. We also establish that there is, if Christ is the head of the church, we should allow Christ to be the focus of the church. So no matter what we do, we must make sure that there is no room for entertainment. We must make sure that there is no room for playing. We don't come to church to play. We don't come to church to demonstrate or show the newest style that's reigning in the world. We don't come to church to act like we're in the club. You know, we saw that Jesus gave an instruction to the people and said that any city that they went to and they were rejected, what should they do? Dust their feet and leave. Not try and find out what will get them. You know, if you want to get them, you be like them. You know, not all of those things. Not trying to make your... You know, someone sent a video to me today about a church in the UK, and it was literally like, if it was a video without an audio, the first thing I'll say is this is a club. If it was a video dance, because the way they were even holding themselves, the way they were even dancing, the way they were, you know, all those light effect, and everywhere was dark and all of those things, you know. And the truth is, you see people saying that because they want to try and make the youth come into the church, you know. But Jesus did not give that instruction in saying we are to go into the world to preach the gospel, you know, and we are to make sure that we preach the same thing. Right? Commit to faithful men the things faithful men will commit to other men. So we saw all of that this year. We saw the two things. We saw what our hands are used for, or how we should use our hands when we come to church, how we should use our attention span when we come to church. We should be focused on who the focus should be on, which is who? Christ and his work. You know, we saw that dancing is not praise and worship. Clapping is not praise and worship. Praise is simply speaking. The most important thing about your praises is the fact that you are saying something good, something commendable about the work of God in Christ. So every other activity, in as much as we're in a world where it looks like everything is rotating and changing over the years, it doesn't change the fact that we now allow so much. So remember, we said we must not do things in to entertain. We must do things to entertain, and we must make sure that there is a limit, there is a guide, there is a barrier to the kind of things we do in the church, because we're not in church to play. Yeah, so remember, we did also God's Rich Man. We did that as one of those series, God's Rich Man, speaking about God's wonderful work, God's powerful power that was demonstrated towards the believer, power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that dwells in us. We saw all of that. And we also had a practical service on Sunday, which had almost an extra hour teaching, an extra hour time, rather. So today we're just going to round up on a couple of things. Let's start from... We saw that hands, when we spoke about clapping, what was it used for usually? For mockery, right? To ease, to sarcasm, yeah? Sarcasm, mockery. We saw that the constant thing that was with them in their tradition was basically about the Jewish tradition was basically about what lifting their hands after a sign of lifting their hands, as a sign of reference and exhortation, submission, and all of that. And we saw lots of scriptures and how hands. And we mentioned that word clapping was not a practice that was taken into the New Testament. It's one thing to even take note of. If clapping was used for mockery, it would be difficult to see the apostles clap, because mockery is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, so you wouldn't even see clapping both for either praising and both for mockery, because you won't say mockery is a believer should not mock people. All of that. And so today we'll just look at something. Now remember, what we're establishing is we are going through scriptures to see the vocabulary of scriptures and to align ourselves to the New Testament practice, to the New Testament church. Align ourselves to New Testament church. Two things we'll just look at this evening before we leave here. Give me Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. Give me Luke 24. Let's see Luke 24, 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, and even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Yes, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. So the fact that they were called fools was because they were slow of heart to believe what the prophets had spoken, right? And what did the prophet speak? What did the prophet spoken? The prophet spoke. So what the prophet said was that Christ was to what? Suffer these things and to enter into his glory. One very profound thing you should know is that what Jesus did here was a summative statement. You can't find this in any part of from Genesis to Malachi. You won't see the word Christ. Right, from Genesis to Malachi, you will see the word Christ must suffer these things, And so definitely he was using their He was using the fact the present experience. So now, this is what I mean. He wouldn't say, ought not Christ to have suffered these things. He's saying, ought not Christ to have suffered these things. These things will be like what they are experiencing. Do you get? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things would mean that he's talking about what they are experiencing. Yeah, but you will not see it in a place where you say, you might see lamb, you might see sheep, you might see ram, you might see blood, you might see Noah's Ark, you might see garden, you might see this, but it is pointing to a Christ that will come, suffer certain things, go through certain things, on that cross to bring redemption in the fact that when he resurrects and a man believes, he is saved forever. So, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and not just to suffer these things, he now summarized resurrection and entering the believer as enter into his glory. You see that? Because he just said, suffer all these things and enter into his glory. Remember the word enter? To go into a place you've never been. To go to a place for the first time. So the place God had never been before was where? The believer. So Christ was to suffer these things and enter into his glory. So the riches of God's glory, that makes you the believer, right? So riches of God's glory, riches of God's grace towards the believer. So Christ was to come, suffer these things, suffer certain things, to be killed by men, not by God. God cannot kill Christ. Yes? You know, I gave a post recently about how people say there's a difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. And someone sent me a message and she was like, oh, wow, really? There's nothing different from that. She was like, but she heard that Christ Jesus was Christ Jesus was the Christ that was slain before the foundation of the world. And Jesus Christ was the manifestation of that slaying in the real life. And all I could do, I just felt like we have heard too many nonsense. But that stood out. No, think about it. Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And you are taking that as literal. So who slain Christ before the foundation? Who was the man on earth that slain? Or rather, who was the man where Christ was that slain him before the earth now began? Do you understand that? To say that he was slain before the foundation of the world will mean that God killed him. So it will mean that God killed him and rose him up. Now, that will now change your logic. Why should a powerful man, just because he wants to show his power, kill somebody and just bring the person back to life? That's to show your heart has one way. You see that? You know, so the Christ Jesus, and they used to call the, first time I heard it, you call it Jewish name, Yehoshua Shalom, something like this. And another one is, and like, one is divinity, one is humanity. I was like, do we see Jesus Christ in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Do we see the word Jesus Christ in the Bible? Are you questioning your Bible? Are you questioning your Bible? Do you see Jesus Christ in the Bible? Is he in the Bible? Do you see Christ Jesus in the Bible? He's in the Bible. It is just the translator or the interpreter that chose one before the other. So when you begin to, you know, just because you want to sound spooky, you now say Christ Jesus is... But really, the point is this. Christ suffered certain things. So God did not kill Christ. Who killed Christ? Acts tells us. Acts 5, Acts 7 tells us that men killed Christ. Acts 2. Men, who men slain? What was God's responsibility in salvation? To bring him back to life. Altogether. So that is the work of God that we are to speak of. That he slain was giving himself as an offering. And men killed him. Altogether. So we see that all of this is, so with all of this, we've established the basics here and there. We've done all of that. Next month, like we said, we're dealing with concerning spiritual, and it's going to be a very interesting month. We'll try as much as possible to trash as much as we can within 8 weeks and about spiritual things and how spiritual things are done. I did a very brief summary. On Sunday. And I didn't know when, for 5 minutes or 30 minutes, 35 minutes later. I was like, oh, wow, really? So much. So today, look at Matthew 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. And saying, when he piped unto you and you have not danced, you know, we are looking at dancing and rejoicing today. Where do we see the word dancing? You know, we established the word clapping was not used in the New Testament books, right? Now, we're seeing dancing. So, when we have piped unto you and ye have not danced, we have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. So, when he's saying, we have, look at the previous verse. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows, saying, we have piped unto you and you've not danced. You know, he's talking about feast, excitement, celebration, and all of that. Look at Matthew 14, verse 6. Matthew 14, verse 6, when Herod's daughter danced, when he asked for the head of beloved brother John, you know. But when Herod's birthday was kept, what does that mean? They were marking Herod's birthday, you know, King James and their English. The daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. You know, this was a dance that led to the king being pleased and asked the daughter, what do you want? And she asked for the head of who? Beautiful, you know. So she asks for the head. So that means that. So this was a feast. This was an exciting moment, and that means dancing can influence some people's decision. So dancing can excite some people, right? Some people are good in dancing. For someone like me, and I love people that dance. For some of us, we like people that sing. Oh, actually, I like people that dance and people that sing. It's glory to God. You know, so we see that dancing used for feasting, used for excitement. Look at Mark 6:22. Mark 6:32. I'm just showing the few times that the word dance was used in New Testament books. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. 23. And he swore unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask, I'll give it to thee, unto the half of my kingdom, unto the half of the kingdom. So that's what I explained. Look at Luke 15 verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. This is the prodigal story, right? Elder son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So Jesus used the word dancing too, right? Because Jesus was giving this parable. Who was giving the parable of prodigal? Jesus, right? So he used the word dancing, right? So can there be anything wrong in dancing? No. There can't be anything wrong in dancing. The same way we established, there can never be anything wrong with clapping. You know, once you begin to give authoritative statements about what the scripture, the Bible did not say, you are preaching another gospel. Once you begin to say, thou shalt not clap, thou shalt not dance, you know, you are just teaching another gospel, because there is no Bible verse that says, thou shalt not dance, thou shalt not clap. Now, so we see that even Jesus used the word dancing, and definitely the dance they were hearing, the dance that Jesus was talking about in this parable was dance in reference to feast or entertainment. Remember the story? They were celebrating someone. You get that? So it was in reference to that. Look at Luke 7:32. And they are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. This is the same one we read in Matthew, right? If you're following Matthew chapter 11, you know, so now we've looked at the places that dance was used in the, what do you call the first four books? Synoptic Gospels, right? The Gospels, right? The Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, but the word dancing now was not used in between Acts and Revelations. However, we see that there are certain dispositions people should have when they are happy. But among such disposition, there was none called dancing, right? Remember, we established a few meetings ago, what is worldly music? A music that comes from the world. Remember that? Earthly music, worldly music is really, and there's literally no music that comes from heaven, right? So every music started where? On earth, started with man. Are we together? Even the cultural dances, they were dancing, started with men. So it is not, there is nothing called heavenly dance. Do you understand? Give the Lord a heavenly dance today. There's nothing called heavenly dance. The moment you say heavenly dance, it is actually saying there's a dance you saw in heaven. Just like that man that said, I should play music from heaven. Remember? So we see that there's a disposition that people, the believers had. Remember we said something. When the believers deliberately did something which was to praise God irrespective of their circumstances. We saw in the book of Acts, we saw Paul and Silas, they were in the prison, they prayed and gave praise. They gave praise and they prayed. Remember our teaching on prayer? The blessedness of prayer is in the fact that a man prays. We saw so many examples of people that prayed. You look at people that were praying for Peter. They were praying for Peter's deliverance in quotes. Or rather, they were praying for Peter. And Peter came, they said he was a ghost. Jesus prayed for Peter that I pray that your faith will not fail you, right? Did Peter still deny Jesus? He did, right? You see that? So we saw all of that. So one of the profound things that we see, so we've established also, dancing, clapping is not praise. Dancing, clapping is not praise. We simply just said praise is speaking about something. So clapping is not praise. Does that make sense? Is that logical? Praise is speaking about something. Praise has to do with an utterance, a saying. Praise is independent of your activity. Do you get that? So even if you lie down on the floor and put one leg up, so remember I said something. When you come to church and dance, it doesn't move God. The best that it does to you is what? You burn calories. Is it wrong to dance? It can't be wrong to dance because it's your body. It can't be wrong to dance because it's your body. But the best, there's nothing like You know, I've seen somebody say, when people say usually, when prayer fails, try praise. You are just an active person that likes to move your body. First of all, you are active or you like moving and you are a lazy person. Because if you check it well, they don't usually go to the gym. So the best time to exercise your body is you just run there and just, and before you know, you put yourself in a circle and be lifting one leg up. So praising, we need to be serious. Not dancing, it's not, praise is not abo-abo. Praise is not abo-abo. Tutu. Praise is not tutu. What is tutu? That's not praises. Praise is not lift your leg up. You now hold yourself and be jumping. Praise is not bring out your handkerchief. Where are my Delta people? That is culture. Yeah. Where are my Urobo people? Everybody's like, hey. What you are doing in your chieftaincy meeting, you just brought it to church. You're going, so go, yeah. Everybody do that, like, yeah. You just literally brought your traditional meeting to church. Where are my Urobo people? All of you in Akari Agbada be coming out. You literally just did what? Brought your cultural practice to the midst of the brethren. Now, we established that the reason why this thing should be well controlled is to avoid what? Distractions. That's why you realize if you see lots of people that dance a lot. No, think about it. When you're doing dance like this, can your mouth be like this and be singing? Think about that. You know, most of the dances we dance in Nigeria comes with a mouth pattern. A lot of dances we do in Nigeria comes with a tiki, right? Now, when you are actively doing something, how many people do you see consistently maintain their dance pattern and consistently keep singing? How many? Now, you see people with thought of projector, lyrics is there. They forget lyrics. Are we together? Are we together? You know, so the idea is you don't let your attention be fully on what you are saying. What are you saying? What is said? A lot of times, a lot of songs we sing in other dialects that are not ours. Do we understand? No. So it's easier for when we come together, we sing with English that everybody knows. Is there anything wrong in singing song in your dialect? No. But when we come together, just because we are to be in one faith, one unity, saying the same thing, or rather for us to be united, so to say, you know, so that is why you would now limit and bring whatever you are singing to be a language everybody can communicate to. Not a language where even in looking in the projector, you don't know how to pronounce the word. So you see something like, this Sunday is... Which tribe should we use now? Ibokwenu. You don't know that song? And now the keyboard. So, do you know there are some Igbo songs I will call now? You've sang it more than 50 times, but you don't know the lyrics. There are some songs in some dialects that are not your dialect. There are some Yoruba songs I will ask you to sing. For instance, there are some Yoruba songs I want you to sing. You must have sang it before. Let me not say that. You must have participated in an activity while they were singing it before. Yeah, right? But if I ask you to come and lead that song now, when we're singing, Count Your Blessing, how many of us, is it not English? Were we not still chewing? English. We were still chewing. That's English. Who is there that has not sat in a garden over 100 times where they sang that song? So when I'm saying 100, I'm just going over the bar, definitely. You see, we have someone that has reached 100. Even that first line, myself, is hard. When I roll start tempest, you were... I just know that there's tempest, toast, billows. Anyone that comes first is fine. Do you understand the point? But if we were at times If one of the times in time past we were deliberate about what we were singing when they were singing it, we should know that lyrics by now. So you will now realize that the 5-10 times you've done it before, you were fully distracted by something, somehow, somewhere, somebody, sometime, somewhere, somehow. Who can sing "To God Be That Glory" first stanza to three, first to third stanza, word for word? But we've been in meetings where we've sang it over and over. We don't need, right now, most of us that have been Christians from birth should not use projector to sing "To God Be That Glory." That is to say, at times when we're singing it, something was done that caused our distraction. Our minds was not there. Or our mind was not there. Yeah. So we must know that singing, coming, praising, giving praise to God, we must avoid any form, any sort of distraction. The instrumentalist must not distract. The person leading must not distract. Even your neighbor should not distract you. Think about this. You know, no matter how dexterous you are, you shouldn't use your dexterity in music as a singer to lead praise and worship. The word dexterous means, what can I give that word? Dexterous, dexterity. Skillful, let's use skillful. So you know how musical guys sing, all those things you call skills. You know all those running of skills. You know that you shouldn't do all of that on the stage when leading people, because the attention of people would be dragged to you. Oh, that lady can sing. Oh, that lady has a good voice. And that is why, obviously, what you expect after that is you give her a round of applause because she did well. Meanwhile, the focus should be in the church on Christ. So you can, are there places where you can use your voice to sing? Yes. There's wedding every Saturday in Nigeria. If you apply to 100, one will call you. If you are looking for a way to use your skillful voice, if you apply to 100, I assure you, one will call you. As long as you have the voice. See the question I asked now. A Muslim that says is talented in dancing, where does she dance? Let me say this. A traditional Muslim, for instance, that doesn't go clubbing or doesn't do whatever usual people do. I mean, a faithful Muslim that loves dancing and has a passion for dancing, has a gift and can dance. Where does she dance? In the mosque? Say they will come on Friday. The special number for dancing group crew. So we see some instructions on what we should do when we are giving praise. So see Matthew 5 verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 verse 12. What does it say? What is the first word there? What? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. What did he say there? Rejoice. Look at the Bible and say rejoice. Look at Luke 6 verse 23. What did he say again? Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, can you see? It is not because you got a car. You see, remember we saw something. Blessedness, riches were not for material things. So if you are saying, so the same way an ideal person, or rather an average person, will say that, oh, God bless me with a car. You're now going, and by the time you give them mic, they don't want to join choir, but they want to sing. Right? And you are one of them. Right? Now, we see that they are dancing, even if they were going to dance, their rejoicing, which was the instruction at Galileo, was not in reference to material things. See. Listen attentively. Give me Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Right? So they came and they were happy. Oh, they cast out demons. Demons listened to them. They were happy. Were they happy? They said, the Bible says what? With joy. Look at the next verse. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over the powers of the enemies, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Next verse. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. So is there a rejoice not? Yes. Yes, there's a rejoice note that should be given as an instruction to the believer, which Jesus did. Notwithstanding, so what is the notwithstanding going to be in reference to? I give you power. Previous verse, right? Previous verse, quickly. I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all powers of enemy, and not shall by any means hurt you. Is that not a good place to rejoice? It's a good place to rejoice, right? But what did he say? Notwithstanding, inasmuch as you have this power, rejoice not. That the spirits are subject to you. So, your rejoicing should not be in the fact that spirits are subject to you. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, your names written in heaven is the fact that the work of Christ has been done, and by the blood of the Lamb, your name has been written in that book of remembrance forever. Altogether. So, you see this. Listen, no. That means there are three stages of rejoicing. There's a stage of rejoicing because you got a car. Yes. There's a stage of rejoicing because you got a house. There's a stage of rejoicing because you got a job. Is there a face? Are there faces like that? Now, stage one, right? Look at stage two. There's also a stage where you rejoice because you cast out demons. Yes? Are we together? Is there a stage where you rejoice because if you meet a demon possessed and you cast out demon, is that not a good place to rejoice? Right? So we are seeing two places to rejoice. Material things, even casting out of demons. Now, where did Jesus say we should rejoice? Rejoice in the fact that the work of the Lamb has been done and will be done for once and forever. You see three stages. The second two, actually, two of them are actually both spiritual. Yes, one is casting out demon, one is rejoicing in the work of salvation. But there is still a rejoice not amongst those two. Now think, have you not seen live chicken in the church? And behind this, the chicken will be like, oh, grow. Have you not seen goats in the church? And you see one man struggling with the goat. The goat is running. One man is struggling with the neck. So there is a rejoice and there's a rejoice not. Look at Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah. That's not tongues. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It's in the Bible, Old Testament. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee in joy, with joy. You see that word rejoice? Agalio. So, he's saying God will rejoice over you. So, if God were to be on earth right now, will God rejoice? Oh, yes, he would. Because we saw that Jesus rejoiced. Go back to Luke 10, 22, 21. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty, he will save and he will rejoice. Remember, scriptures are pointing to salvation. That's clear salvation there, right? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. Agalio, he rejoiced in the spirit. That is a sudden movement that doesn't have a coordinated pattern. Are we together? A sudden movement, upward, backwards, upward, downwards, back, forward, backwards, without a coordinated movement. That's what Jesus did. So, did Jesus rejoice? So if God were to be on earth right now, would God rejoice? Oh yes, he would, because we saw that man, God, that came as man, which is Jesus, he what? Rejoiced. So we've seen like three examples now of rejoice, right? Look at book of Acts chapter 2 verse 26. Acts 2:26. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Remember this prophecy about, can I say the word rejoice? This prophecy about this word, who was explaining this? Peter, right? Look at Acts 15:31. Acts chapter 15, verse 31. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the... Give me 29. That he abstained from meat offered to idols, and from the blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, right? Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered what? The epistle. What did they do after they delivered the epistle? Look at the next verse. Which when they read, they rejoiced. So what did they rejoice at? The epistle that was delivered. This book of Acts, right? They rejoiced at the epistle that was delivered. The previous verses after did not say that one of them bought a cow. He didn't say one of them gave birth or did naming ceremony. What they rejoiced about was regarding what? The epistle that was delivered unto them that they had just read. Look at chapter 16, verse 31. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and what? Rejoiced. Now, who is this? Look at, give me three verses before this. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now, this was the encounter of Paul and Silas in prison, being set free, right? Yes, if you read in context, you'll see that. Look at verse 39. So, they are, okay. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must be do to be saved? So, you see someone that was even guarding, in quote, he was supposed to provide safety to the prisoners, was asking how to be saved. Imagine. The policeman you put at your gate with dog. I remember I came to environment. He's the one calling you, sir. Sir, the armed robbers outside. What must I do? That means, except you know that there's something deeper than the safety you have with the AK-47. So they were asking Paul and Silas, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Look at what happened, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So what does it take a man to be saved? Believe on the name on Jesus Christ, right? The work of Christ. That is all a man needs to be saved. Look at verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. That means they preached the word of the Lord, right? Next verse. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straight away. Verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and what? Rejoice. What were they rejoicing about? They were rejoicing about the fact that the word of God was just preached. They were rejoicing about the fact that the word of God was just preached. So there's a rejoice not and there's a rejoice. The rejoice not might not... The rejoicing you have after casting out demons, if you are rejoicing because you are casting out demons, it is not every time a man prays for demons that demons respond. That is to say, your rejoicing will be but for a time. And sometimes, and the other time, you will not be able to rejoice. That's why Jesus was pointing the attention to the fact that what you should rejoice on is something that is eternal once and for all. Such that once you think about it, you will rejoice. So for instance, you go out on the streets today, you pray for somebody and the person was mad. Maybe the person even beat you on top. You now go out next tomorrow, you now pray for somebody and the person got healed. When you think about the one that got healed and you rejoice, what will you do when you think about the one that did not get healed? Your normal disposition is, they beat me, joy, no. But if your rejoicing is on that fact that it's eternal once and for all, it is that anytime you sleep and wake up and you remember that your name has been written in heaven once and for all by the work of Christ, it is a time to rejoice. That is to say that a believer would constantly and perpetually remain in a state of rejoicing for his lifetime on earth. A believer will always have a slant and disposition of rejoicing every time and minute or every second on earth. You know, I'll tell someone something. You see this thing they call seed sowing, that they say seed sowing works, right? Seed sowing works. If seed sowing works, that means everybody should be able to sow seed, and every time it should be a guaranteed answer. Such that you need a house tomorrow, all you need to do is give me seed. So once you begin to see it can fluctuate, why should they prophesy over 5,000 people? This is 24 hours miracle. Please, what is 24 hours miracle? you didn't need to give me Greek word. Miracle would need 24 hours, right? And out of 5,000 members, only one comes to share testimony that something happened. That is to say, that blessed... So a man that says, I have the anointing. The anointing of 24 hour miracle. You are doing yourself. If your 24 hour miracle cannot work for everybody, the best you will say is to point my attention to something I'm doing that is not right. So if you rejoice that because 24 hours miracle work today, I can bet you 24 hours miracle does not work every time. It cannot work every time. That is to say, 24 hours miracle is not a constant thing. So all they do is to share testimonies of 1 out of 1 million people they prayed for, that I worked for, and you are shaking. Right? That's what... If I say sold 1,000 naira now, none of you come out. What do I need to do? You see, there was a man, he gave his all. His all was 900. He brought 100 naira to make it 1,000 naira. And he came out by faith. The same way Moses by faith extended the reproach of Christ. So he's confusing your head with Bible terms. He's speaking from the Bible. And Isaac sold, and he sold in the land. And he reaped that year 100 fold. You now went to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 1. You read, read. Have you noticed why, when they say Psalm 24, why is the money you are going to pay 2,400? Why not 2 naira for kobo? Why did they add zero in front? So let's assume it works once. It can never work all the time. So Jesus is pointing their attention to the fact that you can rejoice in this, but I can assure you that if this is what you are laying your rejoicing on, it might not always get to you that way you expected. So you're that's why you see the apostles in Acts chapter 5. Look at, so hearing the word of God, they believe. Look at Acts chapter, look at Romans 5. Romans, what is the time? 36. Romans 5 verse 2. Romans 5 verse 22. Romans 5 verse 22. Romans 5 verse 22. 22. Romans 5 verse 2. Sorry. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Look at Romans chapter 15 verse 10. You see, we are seeing rejoice as a constant thing that came out in scriptures. We're seeing up to 5 now, right? 4 or 5. See verse 9. See verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Verse 10. And again he said, what? Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Look at the next verse. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and loud him, all ye people. So, in their praising their Lord, what were they to do? In their praising their Lord, he had established what? Rejoice. Look at verse 10. And again, he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. It's a continuous statement. Remember, Bible was written in chapters and verses. And again, praise the Lord. So in your praising, what should they do? Rejoice. Clear. Look at Philippians. You know, Philippians is a book that spoke about so much joy. And the letter to Philippians was because they were going through persecution. A church that was suffering persecution. Look at a few times. Paul, look at Philippians 1:18. Philippians chapter 1 verse 18, quickly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 18. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice and will rejoice. You see, this Paul writes to the Philippians, and he's talking about rejoicing, and he knows what they are going through, persecution. That is to say, either you are going through persecution or not, your rejoicing will remain consistent. Why? Because your rejoicing is not from the fact that you either go through persecution or not. It's in the fact that Christ has done his work. So either you go through persecution or not, you see the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 4 or 5, it says that why as the apostles were released from the council, after they were flogged, what did the Bible say? They rejoiced. They were flogged. They rejoiced. It didn't say they gave, somebody sold a seed of silver and they began to rejoice. So as a believer, your rejoicing should not be in material things. Because material things is something a man can have, and a man is a thing that other men cannot have. You know, forget those people that are saying there are principles you don't walk in. So that you end up seeing people say that, oh, because there are some principles they don't know. That's why they don't walk in the material prosperity. You are deceiving you. If people, see, sometimes then people need more sincerity. For in that sincerity is when your eyes of understanding is enlightened. That your sincerity is the real thing called eyes of understanding enlightened for some people. See, if you are sincere enough to see that there's a practice you've been doing that has never worked, or it has worked once out of 100 times, if you don't lie to yourself, you should know that even the law of science says that when you throw anything up, it must come down. What do you throw up that doesn't come down? The moment you say there's something you throw up and it doesn't come down, you've succeeded in saying that law is not valid. What do you want to throw up and knock a balloon? It will come down. It's just that it might not come down in your area. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, labored in vain. Look at the next verse. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Next verse, verse 17. Verse 18. For this same cause also do ye rejoice, do ye joy, and rejoice with me. So the rejoicing was in the fact that there was something done about the word of truth. There was something done about the gospel. A church that was facing persecution. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. Quickly. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked the opportunity. So if I see the word there again, rejoice. Look at James 1, 9. James chapter 1 verse 9. James chapter 1 verse 9. Let the brother of low degree. Can you see that? You see, I like the apostles because they wrote to people of low degree and wrote to people of poverty and wrote to people that lacked money. They wrote to slaves. The apostles did not say, "How many of you here? You're in a deep valley. God will turn your life around within 2 hours." He said, "Let the brother of low degree." The degree here will be what? Low financial, low finance. Let him rejoice in that he is what? Exalted. You see the same thing Jesus was teaching. Let your rejoicing not be in this on this. Let it be in the fact that he is exalted. So you can replace Luke's encounter with what? You are exalted. So rejoice not, notwithstanding, rejoice not that spirit has subject to you, but rejoice in the fact that you are exalted. All together. So the fact that you are exalted is a one-off thing that has been done by Christ. So every time you think about that, you are to what? Rejoice. Look at 2 John chapter 4. 2 John has one chapter, verse 4. 1 verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, and we have received the commandment from the Father. Look at 3 John chapter 1 verse 3. 3 John 1:3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You know, this is that verse that says, give me verse 2. Beloved, you know, Gaius, beloved, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health, and even as a soul prosper. This is one of the verses they use for materialism. But if you look at it, if you remove verse 2, let me give you an assignment. Go home, remove verse 2, read the entire chapter, just one chapter, from verse 1 to the end, and look at what he's talking about. Then read verse 2 as the last verse. Then you will see that the prosperity he's talking about here is not financial prosperity. Because what he was speaking about in 3 John was about what? Sound doctrine. We'll look at that properly. The month we're going to look at generosity, we'll look at that properly. So we see that rejoicing was not in acquiring possessions because they can come and go. Have you not seen people that buy new cars today and they give testimony on Sunday and they have accident with it on the next day? So the thing you call blessing from God can be what will cut your leg the next day. So men, either in Christ or not in Christ, can have material possession. But we rejoice because we've been exalted. So we've seen all of that. What rejoicing? Let's look at what the knees are used for. Look at Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14, quickly. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying. So we see that there was a culture of kneeling down. There's an attitude of kneeling down. What does kneeling down say? Kneeling down is an act of expressing submission or reverence. Are we together? An act of expressing submission or reverence. Now remember, this would also mean a cultural thing and not so expressing submission to the Bible or doctrine is not about kneeling down to the Bible. Expressing submission to the Bible is being the humble man who, when the truth of God's word stares you at the face, you leave everything you've held on to, no matter who has said it or no matter who says it. Remember, majority is not our reality, right? Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wouldst, thou canst make me whole. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 14. I bow my knees. Ephesians 3, verse 14. So Paul, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, bowing of knees is an act of what? Submission, reverence. Would have looked at that. Remember, we looked at a few of that in Old Testament last week, where we saw that there's places where they use their hands and you saw people bowing their knees and their face to the ground. Romans 14, verse 11. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. Quickly, Romans 14, 11. Romans 14, verse 11. It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the Lord. So the knees bowing is talking about what? Submission, reference, accepting the work of God, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. But if all prophesy, no, 24, yeah. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, the one that is that believeth not is the one that doesn't believe in the gospel, right? Yes? Who is the one that is unlearned? So Corinthians was talking, we'll do that next month, concerning spirituals. Corinthians is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. This chapter 14, remember what we started on Sunday, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spirituals, I would not want it to be ignorant. You know, so with reference to that, and you are seeing two chapters after, he's talking about unlearned. Who would the unlearned be? The unlearned would be the ignorance concerning the things of the spirit.
Right? So if a man be the one that believeth not, you know, the unlearned cannot be the unbeliever because he already established believeth not. You see that? And now says or, not and. If there was an and there, your head could even go to, okay, maybe it is witches, or I mean, right? But he's saying a believer, that's one that believes not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will what? Worship God. Falling down on his face. Remember, we said something. The reason why he will fall down on his face is what? That was the practice he saw them do. And report that God is in you of the truth. You know, so we've looked at a lot of this. We would end this year. So, we are to separate entertainment, we are to separate carnivals from praising God. Write that down in your notes. We are to separate entertainment, carnivals, from praising God. We are to separate entertainment, carnivals, from praising God. We are to separate entertainment, carnivals, praising God. In praise, the only important person is Christ. Finally, give me Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. So we're to separate entertainment, carnivals, feelings. You remember I said something also a few weeks ago? Emotions are bad leaders, but good followers. Emotions are bad leaders, but good followers. Emotions are bad leaders. So when you are praising God, don't allow your emotions lead you. What I mean is that don't let what you are thinking of be your house rent you've not paid or the job salary they've not given you. If that will lead you, the songs you will sing will be songs like Open That Floodgate. Or let it rain. Because you're emotionally biased at that point. So you must sing something. Not when somebody beat you. The video I posted this one, Pashego was talking about Alagbarabia, right? Yeah, so you are not to be led by your emotions, no matter how you feel. Your emotions should follow you. Now, when you are singing praises to God about the work he has done and the things that you have reaped from that work, your emotions can follow. But don't let it lead you. When you're thinking about count your blessings, see what God has done. You're thinking about redemption, forgiveness of sins, sanctification, the seal of the Holy Spirit, blessedness of the believer. Thinking about that, you can ponder on that to a point that you cry. But what was leading your cry was the fact that you were singing praises on the work that has been accepted. But when you just see a lot, I give you 7 days quick notice. Oh, cast me not, or just as I am with one plea. You know, you just sing something that will just suit the time. Are we together? So we are to sing consistently with our reality. We are to sing consistently with our reality. You don't just you see, your praises cannot crown God, though. You know that. Your praises cannot crown God. Your praises cannot crown Christ. So that's why we say there's nothing like when you praise him, he will raise you. There's nothing like that. Is it like Benla, 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 Benla? I see what the Lord can do. Since you've been bending low and you've been waiting for what the Lord can do, what did he did? What was done in the waiting? So anybody that comes to come and sing Benlo, you are just emotionally leading people. Everybody is going through challenges. Everybody is going through challenge. Okay, you look up, you do not see God. When you're bending down, you're looking for what the Lord will do. Everybody's going through challenges. So when you come out and you're saying, Bella, 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 so see if you bend, Bella, Bella, Bella. A lot in church. Oh, thank God we're understanding this. So we're going to put a stop to this series for now. On Sunday, we'll continue concerning spirituals. I will trust that to be a very exalting time next month. Proper teachings by the grace of God will be done on the spirit of the believer, the work that God has done in the believer, the things that concern the believer, the things that pertain to the spirit that is in the believer.